All right, so we'll see, we left off the last couple of lines on Lamin Amud Beis. So if you remember again, the Gemara said, we're trying to figure out, the Mishnah told us, Ein Omdim Hispala El Mitoch Kovid Rosh, that we only get up to Davin in a state of Kovid Rosh, in a state of Rashi explains humility, but the truth is, based on the Gemara, it really seems to indicate a state of seriousness. So the Gemara is trying to figure out, where do we know this from? So Amar, let's just pick up 2, 4... Kihad Rav Yehuda. We'll go 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Kihad Rav Yehuda have mitzayin nafshe v'hadra matzli. So, for example, Rav Yehuda would mitzayin nafshe literally means he would go ahead and get dressed up, and only afterwards would he daven. Meaning, indicating the fact that he got dressed up was indicative of the fact that he prepared himself for tefillah. Ela amra nachran by Yitzchok mihacha. If du es Hashem b'yira, v'gilu b'ira adah. Serve HaKadosh Baruch with yira and rejoice with trepidation. My v'gilu b'ira adah, what does that mean and rejoice with trepidation? Amar Rav Adar bar Masna, Amar Rav mamakim gilu sham tehira adah. In a place where there is rejoicing, there should be trepidation there as well. Meaning that even when one is a state of simcha, nevertheless one should go ahead and still have some element of trepidation as well. Abayi hava Yosef kamei de Rabba. Listen to this. So Abayi was sitting before Rabba. Chazya and Chazye de hava kabadach tuva. So he said to him, he felt that he was acting in a little bit too much of a joyful fashion. Amar v'gilu b'ra aduksiv. So he said to him, the pasuk says, you should rejoice your trepidation. Amar li ana tefillah menachno. He said, I'm wearing tefillin. And the fact that I'm wearing tefillin, the fact that, I said, did I displace people? See, hi, come sit over here. I'm going to, no, come. It's easy for me to stand. Just, Erev Shabbos. Through. All right. Thank you. Yeah, it's fine. Put it down. Yeah, it's, thank you. Alright. So fine. So Abayi responded, he said, I'm wearing tefillin, and by definition tefillin tempers my sense of simcha. Rabbi Yirmiyahu havi yosek mei Rabbi Zeira, chazi dehavak habadach tuva. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was sitting before Rabbi Zeira, and he saw that he was joking, or he was becoming a little too jocular. Amarle, b'chol eitzev yemosar. I say, he quoted the pasuk over here from Mishlei that says, with additional sadness, man will benefit, which ultimately means Shlomo Melech is not advocating for depression or for sadness. What Shlomo Melech is saying is that simcha is wonderful, but simcha is dangerous, because too much simcha could ultimately lead to frivolity. Amar le'ana tefillin menachnos. He said, I'm wearing tefillin, and therefore the presence of the tefillin tempers my simcha. Mar b'rit Ravina avat hilula lebrei. So listen to this. Mar, the son of Ravina, made a wedding for his son. He saw that the rabbis were getting a little out of hand. It does happen. The rabbis getting a little out of hand. So what happened? Top of Lamed Aleph. I see Kasta de Murka Bas Arba Meazuzi. He took out a very expensive crystal glass worth 400 zuz, Tavar. He broke it right in front of them, v'atzvu, and they became sad. So he took an item of significant value, smashed it in front of them, in an effort to go ahead and temper their simcha. Tulsus points out that this actually is the origin for the minog of breaking a glass under the chuppah. Later on, it became endowed with an additional significance of zecher l'chorban, but originally the concept of breaking the glass under a chuppah was to temper the simcha. Now, how does breaking a glass temper a simcha? Because just like the glass looks so beautiful and it's so wonderful, but yet next second it's in shards, so to a person, even in times of simcha, has to recognize their own mortality, and contemplation of one's mortality, by definition, leads to a more appropriate simcha. Rav Ashi Avot Hilul Lebrei. Ravashi made a wedding for his son. Chazinu the rabbanu davi kabat chituva. Again, he saw that the rabbis were getting a little bit out of hand. Kabat chituva literally means they were joking around too much. You guys with me? Good. Joking around too much. Aisi kasa de zugisa chiyurta. He brought a piece of white glass, which apparently was very expensive glass. V'tavar kamayu, he broke it in front of them. V'atzu, and they became sad. When again, what it means they became sad, what it literally means is that it tempered their simcha. Amru le rabbanu rachamnuna zuti behilula demar brei dravina lishrei lan mar. So the rabbis once said to Rav Hanuna at the wedding of Mar, the son of Ravina. So remember again, right? So see, when they were all at the wedding together, the rabbis turned to Rav Hanuna and they say the following. Lishrei lan Mar, sing us a song. Sing us a song. Amar luhu vay landemasinan vay landemasinan. So this is an oldie but goodie. Woe, we're going to die. Woe, we're going to die. Right. So this was the song that he sang at the chasana. Okay. So here's what's interesting. Amri le anan ma nani basrach. So they said to him, by the way, what's the chorus? Like, how exactly should we answer you with this one? Amar le hey Torah the hey mitzvah de mignon alon. What do you call it when you respond? Is it called the chorus? The refrain. Now, what's the refrain? The refrain is, where is the Torah and where is the mitzvah that is going to protect us? Okay. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Just so you understand, the theme over here just ultimately is tempering simcha. There is this notion that simcha must be kept in check, because unchecked simcha ultimately leads to frivolity, which can then go ahead and lead to a whole number of different averos. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rashbir. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Shimon Yochai. A person is not allowed to allow his mouth to fill with schok, with silliness in this world. Because the pasuk says, then our mouth will be filled with schok, with jubilation, with joy, and our tongues with rina, with praise. A masai. So when is that going to happen? Bizman sheyomru bagoyim higdil Hashem laasos im eila. That when ultimately will be the time of ultimate joy, the time when the nations of the world will recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or in other words, messianic era. Only in the messianic era will we have unchecked joy. Before the arrival of Mashiach, we must be very careful to keep our joy in check. So the Gemara says, Amru alav al Reish Lakish. They said about Reish Lakish, Shemi yomav lo malei schok piv ba'olam hazeh. So he said about Reish Lakish that when he heard this teaching of his Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, from that moment on he was much more careful about his external expressions of joy. Tan Rabbanan, Ein omdin lehispala lo mitoch din, velo mitoch dvar halacha, ela mitoch halacha psuka. So comes along the Brayson and says, we don't get up to daven in the midst of judgment or in the midst of dvar halacha. Rather, we get up to daven from halacha psuka. Now, what does that mean? What the Gemara is saying over here is that we don't want you to begin davening after you've been involved in significant intellectual exercise. Why? What's the concern? The concern is that that's what you're going to focus on when you're davening, right? You know that it's wonderful to learn before davening, but sometimes learning before davening can actually be a little bit distracting. So therefore, the Gemara says that you're supposed to, before you daven, you're supposed to learn halacha psuka. Halacha psuka means what? A straightforward halacha that's not subject to dispute, and that way, again, your mind can be focused on davening. So the Gemara said, right, what's the halacha psuka? So the Gemara said, the hechi dem halacha psuka. So this is amazing what the Gemara chooses. Amar abai ki had rav zera. Damar rav zera, binos yisrael hechmiru al atzman, sha'afilu roos tipas dam kechardal, yosheves aleha shiva nekiim. So they choose the same with rav zera, that Jewish women are machmir on themselves, that if they see even one little drop of blood the size of a mustard seed, they go ahead and observe 7 clean days. So the truth is, all right, it's a straightforward halacha, actually not subject to dispute. Rava Amar Kihad Rav Oshia. So Rava gives another example. Dam Rav Oshia, Marim Adam Al Tvuaso, Umachnisa Bemot Shelo, Kadesh Tehe Behemto Ocheles Uptura Mina Meiser. So Rav Oshia said the following, that if a person wants to go ahead and play a game with his Meiser, which you can do as the following, Bosai, produce only becomes Chayiv and Meiser. Produce only. Did you tie up your stallion up there? All right. Sorry. So produce only becomes chayiv and meiser when? Only becomes chayiv and meiser when there's 2 steps. Number one, it has to come in the front of the house. And number two, it has to already have gone through the threshing process. So if you bring produce into a b'mot shalah, b'mot shalah means what? In the husk. In the husk, right? So it's unrefined. So technically speaking, you can go ahead and eat achilas, right? You could have a snack from it, and you could feed your animals from it. So this is a halacha psuka. This is one of these examples where no one happens to argue with this halacha. So Rava said, if you want to see the type of halacha that you should say before davening, here's a good example. So the Gemara says, another example of a halacha psuka, hamakiz dom bebehemas kachin. If one lets blood, one lets blood from an animal of kachim, right, from a sacrificial animal. So let's say you set aside the animal for a karbon, and then you go ahead and you let, is that the right word, the right verb? It's bloodletting, I guess, you let blood. Okay, you do bloodletting to the animal. So the halacha is, asr ba'ano, you are not permitted to get benefits from the blood, umo'alinbo, and if you use the blood, so you would go ahead and be over on ni'ila, which is a legal use of consecrated items. Now, what would you possibly use blood for? You obviously can't eat it. So what would you use it for? You would use it for fertilizer. Blood was a big fertilizer. The Gemara, the Mishnah actually discusses that farmers often use the debate very quickly, but there was a drain in the Beis HaMikdash into which they washed all of the blood, and it washed down into Nachal Kidron, to the Kidron Valley, and farmers would often take from that water to water their fields, because it was rich in blood, in fat, in ashes, all the good stuff that's necessary for fertilizer. Oh, because the Gemara says that after the Avoda has been done already, so those things are no longer subject to Me'ila. Rabbanon Avdi Kimas Nisen, Rav Ashi Kibraisa. So the Rabbanon went ahead and went like the Mishnah, and Rav Ashi went like the Braisa. Rashi says, what does it mean? That when the rabbis would prepare for davening, they would do it like the Mishnah says, Kovid Rosh. So you all say, what the Mishnah, here's what everybody agrees with, which is what? You have to prepare for davening. You can't just walk, you have to do some kind of spiritual preparatory act. The Machlokis is what? So the Mishnah says, what does the Mishnah say? That Chassidim Arishonim Hayu Shohin. Shohin means what? They would meditate. They would contemplate. They would get themselves in the right mindset. So the Rabbanon used to go like the Mishnah. Rav Ashi did like the Braisa. What does the Braisa say? You learn. Learning is a good way to ready yourself for tefillah. But it's only a certain, it's not any learning. It has to be learning that's not too complicated. It's that your mind should not be diverted by learning when you get into davening. Tan Rabbanon. Ein obnim lehisfala lo mitoch atzvus velo mitoch atzlus velo mitoch schok velo mitoch sicha velo mitoch kalus rosh velo mitoch dvar betelim. A person should not get up to daven if a person is in a state of sadness, or in a state of laziness, or in a state of silliness, or in the midst of conversation, or in the midst of levity, or in the midst of engaged in doing things that are just dvar betelim. Things that are waste of time. Elo mitoch simcha shal mitzvah. Rather, what should a person do? A person should begin to daven after coming off a high from the state of simcha of a mitzvah. So, what does that mean? Simcha shal mitzvah. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says kigon divrei tanchumin shal Torah. So he says very beautifully. What does it mean? It means that a person should begin to daven after they learn. Because if a person spends some time learning for tefillah, that puts a person in the right state of spiritual preparedness so that the tefillah experience is meaningful. Similarly, when a person is taking leave of his friend, a person should not take leave of his friend, not in the state of conversation, silliness, rosh, levity, or just waste of time things. Ella mitoch dvar halacha. Rather, even when one says goodbye to their friend, one should take leave of their friend with Torah. The idea is, it's actually very beautiful. Also, we don't appreciate this as much because we live in an age of instant communication. But think about it, not so long ago. So, you know, Rav Soloveitchik, very quickly, Rav Soloveitchik describes when he said goodbye to his father when he was going off to university in Berlin. So the Rav writes that he didn't know when he was going to see his father next. He had no idea. My grandfather, Zichron Lebracha, told me that when he was 10 years old, his parents sent him off to yeshiva in Nirvaduk. And he had no plans to see his parents until his bar mitzvah. He thought maybe he'd come home for his bar mitzvah. That was it. So what the Gemara is saying over here is when you take leave of someone, so the idea is you want the parting to be memorable. So the Gemara says, don't crack a joke. Don't give a pat on the back. Don't even engage in idle chatter. Talk Torah. This way the parting from your friend will be memorable. So the Gemara, Shekhim Atzinu B'Nevim HaRishonim, Shesimu, Shesaimu Divrayim B'Dvar Shelach V'Tanchumim. Because this is what we found with the early prophets, that they always concluded their words with words of praise and consolation. V'chim Tani Mari Bar B'Rei Dravuna, B'Rei Drav Yirmiya Bar Abba, Ayip Hater Adam Mechavim. Here's what's beautiful. If you part ways with your friends in the midst of learning, what will happen? You'll remember each other. Why? Because often people don't remember the jokes that they crack with each other, but I remember a good vart. Right? I remember a dvar Torah, I remember a good dvar halacha. So in order to make the relationship, the parting meaningful, exchange words of Torah. Ki chad Rav Kahana, Ilavye l'rafsimi bar ashi mipom naro ad beit sanisa de bavel. Like Rav Ashi went ahead and, excuse me, Rav Kahana escorted Rav Simi bar Ashi from Pumnara. Pumnara literally means the mouth of the river, which was a place, until Beit Sanisa and Bavel. Kimata lahasam, when they reached the destination, Amrle mar, vadai da amri inshi, hani tsanisa de Bavel, isnu me adam arishon vaad hashta. See, here's what's interesting. So apparently, when they got to the particular place, So Rav Kahana said to Rav Simi Bar Ashi, I have heard that the palm trees here in Bavel, people say, are all the way from the times of Adam HaRishon. Right? Is that true? Palm trees are all the way from the times of Adam HaRishon. Amar Lei, Art Karon Milsa de Rav Yossi. So to which Rav Simi Bar Ashi said, you reminded me of a statement of Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Mai Dichsiv. But now here he's quoting the pasuk from Yirmiyah. Ba'aretz asher lo avar ba'ish velo yashav adam sham. In the land in which no man traversed and no person sat there, no person settled there. So he says, v'chimi acher delo avar heich yashav. Now obviously, if no one passed through there, then obviously no one settled there. Elalomer lachora, the pasuk is coming to teach you, kol eretz shagazer aleh adam arishon liyishuv nisyashva. Any land that Adam HaRishon set aside for habitation was ultimately settled by people. And any land that was not set aside by Adam for human habitation, at the end of the day, was not settled. So the Gemara says, Rav Mordechai, so Rose, what's the point of that story? The point of that story is that they took leave of each other with words of Torah. Rav Mordechai ilavi der simi bar ashi, mehagronya ad beikipi, v'amri la ad beidura. So now once the Gemara is talking about the mitzvah of Leviyah, of escorting people, so the Gemara says, here you see Rav Mordechai went so far to escort Rav simi bar ashi, from Agronya until beikipi, and others say until beidura, which was even farther. Tan Rabbanan. When a person davens, he has to direct his heart heavenward. Abashol Omer, Simon Ladover, if you want a scriptural allusion to this, the Pasuk says, Tochin Libam, Takshiv Azunecha. That the Pasuk says, literally, if you direct your heart, if they direct their heart, your ear will be attentive, which is another way of saying that if we direct our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to our tefillos. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, listen to this. Kach hayo min hagol Rabbi Akiva. The following was the practice of Rabbi Akiva. Kisha hayo mispalal imat zibor. When he would go ahead and be davening with the minyan, hayo mekatzer va'ola mitnei torach zibor. He would always daven a short Shmona Esrei. Why? Tircha de tzibura. He knew they would wait for him. He didn't want to be matriarch the tzibur. But when he was davening himself, listen to this. But when he davened by himself, it was no holds barred tefillah, full contact tefillah. So what happened? He would literally start off davening in one corner, and they would find him in an opposite corner by the time he was finished davening. So the Gemara says, how did that happen? So the Gemara says, v'kol kach lama, what happened? So the Gemara says, mipnei krios v'shtachavios, that apparently every time he bowed, and every time he bent down in Shmona Esrei, he did it with such hislavos and such kavana, that literally his body moved. To the point that the Gemara says that quite literally he went from one corner to the next. The olam yispala adam bebayis sheyesh bo chalonos. Listen to this. A person should always daven, literally bebayis, in a place or in a house that has windows. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, over, he's quoting over the pasuk from Daniel, bechavin pesichon le. So it's talking about Daniel, that Daniel davened opposite the windows. Now what's the logic in that, Rabbosai? The logic in that is the hope is that will help a person with kavana. Now, remember, when it says windows, by the way, it's talking about windows that are directed skyward, right? It doesn't mean you're looking out at the parking lot. It means you're looking at the sky. The assumption is that if a person is struggling with kavana, you look up to Shamayim, and ultimately that reinfuses you with a new burst of kavana. So the Gemara says, Yochol Yispalo Adam Kolayom Kulo. I'm sorry. The Chivim Pesitan Le. Yochol Yispalo Adam Kolayom Kulo. So I might have thought that a person should daven the whole day. So also, by the way, you should just know that is Halacha Lamaisa. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that when building a shul should be built with windows for exactly this point. That in the event that people have a lapse in their kavana, they have the ability to look out to the sky and reinvigorate themselves. So the Gemara says that we're going to start construction after Shabbos. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara goes on, Yochol Yispalo Adam Kol Yom Kulo. I might have thought that a person should daven the whole day. I mean, the Gemara is jumping around a little bit here. Maybe you would think that tefillah, you should just daven the entire day. So the Gemara says, Kvar Mufurash Al Yidei Daniel V'Zimnin Tlasa. So we already learned from the Navi Daniel that what? That Zimnin Tlasa means that we daven three times a day. So the Gemara says, Yochol Mishebo L'Golo Huchlo Huchlo Kvar. But I might have thought that once we get to Golos, maybe the whole notion of the three times a day tefillah is totally negated. Kvar Namer Dihu Avid Dihu Ovid min kadamas dino. Yochol yispalo odom l'chol ruach shiyirtze. I'm going to thought that maybe a person should daven in any direction that they want. Talmud lomar nege Yerushalayim. Therefore, the Navi tells us that you dafka daven opposite Jerusalem. Or in the direction of Jerusalem, I should say. Yochol yehe kololon bevasachos. I might have thought that even if there's an obligation to daven three times a day, maybe what? Maybe you just do kind of one time and get all three in at once. One time and get all three in at once. Kvar mufurash al yedei David dechsev erev vavoker v'tzoharayim. So it already says through David in the morning and the afternoon, in the evening, in the morning, and in the afternoon. So it's not just davening three times a day, it's davening three times a day at different times. Yachol yashmia kolo b'tfilah. So I might have thought that a person should go ahead and raise their voice during davening. Kvar mufurash al yedei chano. That already we learned from Chana, Shene Emar, Vekola lo yishama. That the Navi says, let's want to check it, yishama or yishamea. Lo yishamea. Her voice was not heard. Her voice was not heard. So now we'll say, now the Gemara is going to launch into an extensive discussion about Chana. This is Chana, the mother of Shmuel HaNavi, whom the Gemara is going to say, we learn many aspects of tefillah from her. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that she should daven out loud. Ah, look what it says by Chana, the kola lo yishanea. Her voice was not heard. Yochol yishal adam tzrachav, the achar kach yispalel. I might have thought that maybe a person should first request their needs, and then only afterwards praise God. Right? First ask for what you need, and then afterwards praise God. So, which would essentially mean, I will say, in the context of Shemona Esrei, that, right, taking the middle brachos, saying them first, and then going ahead and saying the first three, last three, last. So the Gemara says, Kvar mufurash ayidei Shlomo shene'emar, lishmoa el arina v'ela tefila. So the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear the rina, the praise, and tefila, supplication, which clearly tells us that first we do the rina, the praise, and then the supplication. Rina zu tefila, Rina zu tefila, tefila zu bakasha. So rina refers to tefila, which means praise. Tefila refers to requests. So the Gemara says, Tfila Zubakasha. I'm sorry, I just lost the place here. Zubakasha. Ein Omer Dover, right? Ein Omer Dover Acher Emes V'yatziv. So the halacha is, well, he parentheses puts in here, Bakasha, that a person should not put in any Bakashos after Emes V'yatziv. So this is about the bracha after Kriyat Shema, that a person should not insert any additional Bakashos. Aval Acher HaTfila, but after Shmona Esrei, afilu kiseder vidui shal yom kippurim omer. So what the Gemara is saying is like this, that you are not allowed to insert any additional supplications in Emes V'yatziv, in Birchos Kriyashma, before you daven Shmona Esrei. But once you have concluded formal Shmona Esrei, which takes place when? After you say Hamvorech HaSamo Yisrael Bashalom, you could add in whatever you want. And the Gemara says, even like vidui on Yom Kippur, which just happens to be exactly what we do. Right? So we know the length of vidui on Yom Kippur is longer than the rest of Shmona Esrei. But nevertheless, once you've concluded formal Shmona Esrei, you could put in whatever bakashos you want. So the Gemara says, Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Even though we said that in Shemona Esrei, Shomea Tefillah is the natural place for a person to insert their personal supplications. If a person wants to insert additional supplications at the end of Shemona Esrei, one is permitted to do so. Shabbos, what that means, just halacha l'maaseh, you appreciate this, is you could insert supplications in Shemona Esrei wherever you want. So in Rifa'inu, you could daven for a chola. In Baruch Halinu, you could daven for parnasa. In Vilushaim, you could daven for Mashiach. In Shema Kolinu, you could even daven whatever you want. But the truth is that the Gemara is saying over here is, if you plan on engaging in extended, prolonged bakashos, better to do that at the end of Shemona Esrei. Formally conclude Shemona Esrei, Habarecha Samo Yisrael Bashalom, and then launch into whatever you want. And already based on yesterday's daf, we've seen that's still considered as if you're still in the midst of Shemona Esrei, because you're considered in the midst of Shemona Esrei until when? Okay, raglav, until you actually move your feet. So the Gemara goes on. Amra hamuna, kama hilchasa gavrusa ika lemeshma mehani kra dechano. How many amazing halachos, great halachos, do we learn from the psukim concerning chana? The chana himi daberes aliba. See, here you have the pasuk says that chana. Remember, I will say, so just so you understand, this is the opening chapter of Shmuel Aleph. Right, Chana's coming into the Navi describes Chana comes every single year with her husband Elkanah and his other wife and her kids, second wife's kids, and they make a big pilgrimage to the Mishkan, and every year Chana comes in and she davens. So the Navi tells us that Chana hi medaberes aliba. Chana, literally translated, is talking to her heart or talking on her heart. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Mikan lemispalel tzarech sheyechaven libo. What do we see from here? That for prayer, lip service is not enough. Rather, one has to direct their heart in the prayer experience. Rak svaseha naos, only her lips were moving. What do we learn from here? Mikan lemispalel sheyachtoch bisvasov. From here, what do we see? That when it comes to tefillah, it's not enough just to scan the prayers. You actually must articulate the words. V'kolo lo yishamea, her voice was not heard. Mikan she'asra lahagbia kolo b'tfilaso. From here we see that what? One is not permitted to raise their voice in prayer. Now, I just want to be clear. When we say tefillah, this specifically means Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei, okay. Vayachsheva Eli l'shikora. Se Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol, thought that she was drunk. He thought that she was drunk. So mikan sheshikar asra lehispalel. From here we see that someone who's drunk is not permitted to daven. Vayomer eleha Eli ad masai tishtakrin. So Eli, when he thinks that she's drunk, actually gets angry at her and says to her, essentially, what chutzpah? How long are you going to come in here when you're drunk? Amar Reb Elazar, mikan lera bechavero, davar she'eno hagun, tzarech lochichos. This is quite amazing. What do we see from here? That when you see something that's not appropriate in your friend, you should say something. You should say something. Meaning, Eli doesn't just go ahead and let it go. He makes a mistake, but at the end of the day, he thinks she was doing something wrong. It was his obligation to point it out. Vatan Chana, Vatomer lo Adoni. So Chana responds and she says, no, my master, I'm not drunk. Amar Ula v'itim Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara says that Chana is actually giving Eli some serious musr. When she says, Lo Adoni, no, my master, what she was saying is, you are not a master in this matter. What does that mean? And it's clear to me that you don't have Ruach HaKodesh. Why? Sha'ata choshdani bedavarzeh. Because if you really had Ruach HaKodesh, if you really were a Nabi, if you really were a master Kohen Gadol, then what? You would have understood that I'm not drunk. I'm just exceptionally sad, exceptionally bitter of heart. Ikeda Amri, others say, Hachi Amrali, this is what she said to him. Lo ata odon. Lo odon ata, excuse me. You are not a master. Lav ika shchina v'racha kodesh gavach. And clearly the divine presence does not rest on you. Why? She dantani lekaf chova v'lo dantani lekaf schus. Because you judged me unfavorably and did not give me the benefit of the doubt. Mi lo yadata. The Ishak Shasruach Hanochi, did you not know that I am a woman of bitter spirit? So Chanu, you know, it almost seems a little bit like what we said before. Remember yesterday's daf, where when Rabbi Gamliel comes to Rabbi Yoshua's house to try to reconcile with him, and he sees the blackness of the walls, and he says that Mikosle Beisecha Nir Shepechomiato, looks like you're a smith. And what does Rabbi Yoshua to say to him? Right, Oy Ledor Sheparnasasan Eno Yodea Be. Woe to the generation whose leader doesn't understand the plight of the common people. So that's the Chana saying to Eli over here also. Right? Lo Adonata, you're not a master if you don't understand what it is that I'm going through. She says, A woman, kshas ruach, literally means of hard spirit, which means I'm exceptionally depressed, very sad. V'yayin v'sheichar lo shasisi, I didn't have anything to drink. Amar Rabbi Elazar says, mikan, from here we learn, l'nechshad b'davar she'ein bo, she'tzarech lo dio. So both say, here's what's interesting. What do we learn from here? That from here we learn that if someone suspects you of wrongdoing, and you did not do anything wrong, you what? You have an obligation to clear your name. Very interesting. Now we don't say, whatever you think, no. If you know someone suspects you of doing wrong, and you did not do wrong, you have an obligation to clear your reputation. Now, literally translated, it means, do not place your maidservant, or do not hold your maidservant, as a bas belial, as a daughter without a yoke, meaning, don't look at me, this is Hannah speaking to Eli, don't look at me as a non-believer. From here we see that if someone who is drunk davens, it's as if they worshipped idolatry. How do we know that? So Hannah calls herself a bas belial. Belial is a contraction for the two words belial, without yoke of heaven. Right, in the Torah over here, when speaking about Ir Nidachos, right, the city that's condemned for worshiping idolatry, calls them Bnei Belial. So the Gemara says, Malahalan avodazara af kanavodazara. Vayomer Eli, Vayan Eli, Vayomer Lechi l'shalom. So Eli realizes he made a mistake, and he says to her, Lechi l'shalom, go in peace, go in peace. Now from here we see that if someone suspects their friend and it turns out that their suspicions are unfounded, that you have to apologize. You have to apologize. If you make a false accusation to someone, so you can't say it was a mistake, mistakes happen. No, you have to apologize. Not only that, but what? You have to give them a bracha. Shene'emar ve'elokei Yisrael yitein eshelaseich. That here Eli doesn't just apologize, but Eli gives her a bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant what it is that you're asking for. Vatidor neder vatomar. So the Gemara goes on with Chana. So Chana makes an answer. What does she say? Vatomar Hashem tzevakos. Amar Rabbi Elazar, miyom shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu es olama. From the day that God created the world, lo haya adam shekaro HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzevakos. Ad shebasa chana vikarasa tzvakos. No one ever called God the Lord of hosts. That's what tzvakos means. Until Chana came along and called him Elokei tzvakos. What's the pshat? Why did Chana use this particular terminology? Amra chana tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to this. We can relate to this because everybody has this feeling in life at some point in time. Amra tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel olam. Mikol tzivei tzvaos shebarasa ba'olamecha. God, out of all the legions that you've created in this world, is it so difficult for you to give me one child? Right? Elokei tzevakos. You created a universe with hosts and hosts of legions. All I'm asking you for is one little kid. What could this be compared to? It could be compared to a king who made a su'udah for his servants. Ba ani echad va'amad ala pesach. So a poor person came and stood on the doorway. Amar lehem tenuli prusa achos v'lo ishkicho alav. So the ani asks for a piece of bread, and what happens? They ignore him. V'dachak v'nichnas etzel hamelech. Until finally the ani makes his way all the way up to the king. Amar le adoni hamelech mikol asudah she'asita kasha ve'enech alitim v'prusa achos. So the pauper finally makes his way to the king, and he says, Your Honor. Your Majesty, right? You're making a whole su'ud over here. It's so difficult for you to give me one piece of bread. So that's what Chana was saying. She was saying the praise, but the praise was a little bit of a musr to Ribono Shel Olam. Look, you're God. For God's sake, you're God. Right? All I'm asking you for is for one child out of everything you created. So what happens? Imra'o tir'eh. So the pasuk over here, again, still quoting from, the pasuk goes, if you see my suffering, you see my afflictions, Chana said to God the following, if you see my suffering, good. Meaning, if you see my suffering and help me out, good. But if you choose to turn a blind eye, if you choose not to look at my suffering, so listen to this. Chana says, God, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do. Essentially, I'm going to become an Isha Sota. I am going to go ahead and seclude myself with another man in front of my husband. In a way that what? In a way that looks like there's some type of suspicious, immoral activity happening. And what's going to happen? The chivan de mistatarna, once I'm secluded with another man, mashkuli me sota. They're going to have to give me mesota, the sota waters. Ve'i ata ose torascha plaster. And God, you are not going to allow your Torah to become a falsehood. Why? What's the pshat? Shenemar, v'niksa v'nizra'a zera. The Torah says of also the following, that if it turns out that the woman accused of being a sota, in fact was not a sota, but she's totally virgin, she didn't do anything wrong, then what? The brachos actually act as a fertility treatment for her. So Chana said it, she's threatening God. God, essentially, if you don't answer my tefillos, not a problem. I'll just exploit your system. And you're going to have to honor your word, because otherwise your Torah is going to look false. Hey, I'm not doing anything, so you can't kill me with the mesota. And if I don't become pregnant by the mesota, then your Torah looks false. So the Gemara says, Hani chalaman da'amarim haisa akeres akara nifkedes shapir. So this makes sense according to the Man D'Amar, who holds that v'niksa zera means that if the woman was barren, as she drinks the mesota, she'll not have children. But according to the opinion, holds no, that the mesota don't have the effect of making a barren woman fertile. Instead, what they do is the mesota for a woman who didn't commit adultery improves the circumstances of her pregnancies. So, for example, if she normally would have very difficult labors, she'll have an easy labor. Nikevos yoledes shchorim. She only had girls, now she'll have boys. Shchorim yoledes levanim. So, shachar and lavan usually uses a term, is a euphemism for good looking versus ugly. Right? So, if she normally had not such good looking kids, now she's going to have good looking kids. Ktsarim yoledes aruchim. She had short kids, now she's going to have tall kids. So the Gemara says over here, so just pointing out that Chana's threat only works according to the Mandam, who held that the waters mamash worked as a fertility treatment. So the Gemara says, Ma'ikal Meimar, but according to the second opinion, how do you understand Chana's statement? The Sanya v'niksa v'nizra zera. Rabbi Shmuel is one who holds that literally, if she was barren, the mesota, assuming she was innocent, would actually be a fertility blessing. Amar Rabbi Akiva, im ken yelchu kol ha'akaros kulan v'yistachru v'zoshelo kilkula nifkedes. So Rabbi Akiva, even before Chana, well, not even before Chana, but even independent of Chana, Rabbi Akiva said, if that's true, then of course people are going to exploit it, right? If a woman can't have a child, of course, naturally, she's going to exploit this system in order to get pregnant. Elamalameid, so rather, says Rabbi Akiva, therefore it can't mean that if she was barren, she would become pregnant. Rather, what does it mean? Elamalameid, shim haisa yoledes bitzar, yoledes berevach. Kitzarim yoledes arukim, shchorim yoledes levanim, echad yoledes shnaim. She only gave birth to one, now she gave birth to two. So ma'im ro'o tir'eh. So according to this opinion, Rabbi Akiva, therefore, who holds that mesota would not work as a fertility treatment. So how do you understand Chana's double lashon of ro'o tir'eh? Remember, according to the first opinion, ro'o tir'eh means that God, either you'll look at me, i.e. pay attention, or what? Tir'eh. I will make you look. What does it mean, I will make you look? I will exploit your own system to get pregnant. That's why she's double lashon. But if you don't hold that mesota is a fertility treatment, then why the double lashon? To which the Gemara gives a simple answer: Dibra Torah kalashon b'nei Adam. That ra'ot tirah just is what the way people spoke. You don't necessarily have to darshan anything additional in it. All right, we'll have to stop over here.